God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11 and verse 16. The title of today's message is, Where is God? Now, in one essence, you would think that this would be somewhat of an easy answer. Typically, we always think of God being up there in heaven above. And that is true. But we also may remember Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So God is also with us. I guess a better way of looking at this is not only trying to figure out where God is basically everywhere, but what does the church building represent? The reason why I sort of need to name things that way is David, after he had been established as king, after he fought all his enemies, and with the Lord's help, won, after he built his house, and as he names in our text, a house of cedar, he sort of sits back and relax and starts thinking, what about the Ark of the Covenant? You know, that which represents God here on earth is living in a tent. Doesn't seem right. Well, back during the time of David, there was usually two great buildings for every little section of territory. The place where the ruler lived and the place where God lived. They usually had enormous buildings. So David really thought, okay, maybe it's time to build a large house for the Ark of the Covenant, for God. Nathan the prophet comes along. First of all, says, go ahead, David, do whatever you want to do. But then God comes to Nathan and says, Nathan, you spoke a little too quickly. This is what you really need to tell David, that he is not going to build the house for God. Actually, it's going to be the other way around. It may sound kind of strange. Why would God want to build a house for David? You see, God has much bigger and grander schemes than just what David's plans were. David's plans was probably just a nice, enormous building for the Ark of the Covenant. Likewise, his son did build that building. We affectionately know it as Solomon's Temple. And it was grand, it was spectacular, but what happened to that temple? In time, especially when Israel was being invaded, that temple was destroyed. It again was rebuilt much later, and then destroyed again. You see, we have to realize whatever is built by human hands can be destroyed, will be knocked down. Nothing lasts forever unless it is built by God. Unless it is holy. It is perfect. Picking up at verse 8, let me just read, it says, Nathan here is speaking. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts. Let me just pick up on that phrase, Lord of hosts. That phrase, Lord of hosts, may sound very familiar if we bring it back to the original Hebrew. The original Hebrew is that of Sabaoth. It comes in our liturgy in the section of the Sanctus. And what's really neat about that section of the Sanctus is in that Sanctus we're saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Sabaoth is nothing more than the Lord of the hosts. This is one of the ways that God wishes to be identified and occurs 286 times in the Old Testament. What's so special about this Lord of hosts, at least in our liturgy, we connect it with the holiness of God. So what God is going to build, what the Lord of hosts says, we better listen. He says, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people. And I have been with you wherever you went and cut off all your enemies before you. Notice the subject here. The subject is still I. God speaking through Nathan the prophet. God is the subject. He is the one who is doing this work. He is the one who took David as a shepherd boy and raised him to king. He is the one that made this king now successful and triumphant over his enemies. And now he is the one referring to God, who is, as verse 10 says, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them. And from verse 11, and from the time I appointed judges over my people Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. You see, it is God who then builds the house, not necessarily of brick and mortar, but builds the house in a different sense, of a sense you could say of a dynasty. The lineage of kings. We know that ultimately that son of David, as our gospel reading picks up for today, is that baby born to Mary. True man, true God. The house that God is going to be building here is the house of eternal life, not made possible with human hands, but made possible only by God. For us, we need to keep this concept in mind and realize it still applies to our lives today. It is God who makes the relationship with us, that of faith. It is God who maintains that relationship of faith by encouraging us through the Holy Spirit. And it is God who makes that relationship permanent as He brings us to be with Him in heaven above. Notice who's doing the action here. It is all God's work. Needless to say, David does not build up the house. But God promises the eternal house. Now, how does this apply for us in our lives today? First of all, we have to remember what season we're in. We're in the season of Advent. As the church colors depict, it is blue. How many of you remember what it was before we changed it to blue? It was purple, a very strong connective theme to that same season that uses purple, that of Lent, a time of reflection, a time of repentance, a time of growing one's faith with the help of the Holy Spirit. Again, God's doing. Advent is that same time. And so we pick up on this concept that God is the one who establishes this relationship with us and maintains this relationship and finalizes this relationship. And we all start by, where is God? Let me take it to a different level at this moment. From the moment we were baptized, God, who makes this relationship, sends His Holy Spirit into our hearts to create that saving faith. So where is God? Let me just answer it, that God is in our hearts. So during this time of Advent, as we focus on growing that relationship, in one essence, we build that house of God, not necessarily the brick and mortar, but we build that faith relationship with God. Yes, it is by God's doing, but also it's with your help. Plain and simple, you could have chose to sleep in this morning. You could have hit the snooze a half dozen more times and then looked at your watch and said, whoops, too late to make it to church. I think I'll just sleep a little bit more. No, but through the Holy Spirit, you made it here to hear God's Word, to build yourself up, to build up that faith relationship. This is what David was trying to learn as God was teaching him. God was trying to teach him it's more than just a building where God resides. It's the relationship between humanity and God. That is where God really wants things to be built up. God in your heart wants that home to be built up so that we have a stronger relationship with Him. And not only does God reside in our heart, but also with His Word. His Word is alive and active. So another way of building up, so to speak, the household of God is not only hearing God's Word, but also when we receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Again, we are participating, we are taking of Christ Himself to build up, to strengthen that relationship so that we will be stronger and are assured of the permanent place with God in heaven above. Let me just move to the gospel reading for a moment. In our gospel reading, the angel Gabriel makes the announcement to Mary that yes, she is going to bear a son. And as he says, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. This is the fulfillment of what Nathan the prophet was trying to say to David, that God is going to build his house. Not David, but God was going to do that work. Through the line of David, the Savior would come to reconnect humanity and with God. So as we take a look at this beautiful announcement to Mary, we have great joy that yes, God did fulfill his building plans. It may not have been on our time schedule, because as human beings, we get a little impatient, because we know that the Christ has already come. We will celebrate that birth on Christmas Day, and we know that he is coming again. And we always say, Lord, how long? Well, I guess like most building projects in today's world, they sometimes get a little behind time schedule, but not with God. It is in his time when he will permanently seal this relationship we have with him. It is in his time because he is the one building the house. It's on his time schedule. So we don't need to look at our watches or calendars to sit there and say, God, when are you going to be building this house? He is already building this house right now as we hear his word and are about ready to receive this sacrament. So as we conclude our Advent worship service themes, and as we take a look at how we prepare ourselves for celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, on how God takes on human flesh and blood and touches humanity in a way that has never been seen before, we realize that yes, God does live within us. He touches our hearts, and he wants us to grow in a stronger relationship with him. And so he gives us his word. He showers us with the grace of his sacraments, and he encourages us in this faith so that we will be with him in heaven above when he comes again. So during this time of Advent, we've continued to prepare ourselves, not necessarily with the external decorations, but the internal decorations, the decorations that God alone is the one who is able to decorate in our hearts. So this day we come before our Lord to give him praise and thanks for all that the grace that he has bestowed upon us. And we ask the Lord to continue to grow that faith within us so that we will be bold and strong and rejoice in the celebration that, yes, he is coming again. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.